We present the news quiz with your chairman, Simon Hoggart.
Hello and welcome to the news quiz. We start with a cutting from the Broomfield Hospital Charity Bulletin, read by Carolyn Brown.
Parachute jump for the hospital appeals. No strings attached.
Thanks to Hugh Ross for sending that in. Let's meet the teams, please. Welcome first on my right, Andy Hamilton, a newcomer, Andy Zaltzman. Opposite them on my left, Alan Corran and Clive Anderson. Andy, so what on earth did they discuss over breakfast?
Well, presumably this is Tessa, is there something you want to tell me, darling Jal? whose difficulties this week are the talk of the Westminster Village. And actually, I don't know why they call it the Westminster Village, because it's not really like a village at all, is it? Because most villages only have one idiot. I mean, on the one hand, I mean, it is deplorable to see the media pack hounding somebody over unproven allegations, but on the other hand, it is Tessa Jowell. It's usually the other way around, isn't it? Usually, people leave the cabinet to spend more time with their family. But I suppose when you look at what David Mills has been up to, I mean, what strikes me is he apparently has 46 non-executive directorships. Has he ever thought of getting a proper job?
I mean, what? No good saying this to Clive Anderson. I mean, Clive Anderson is a lawyer and loyal, presumably to Mills.
You're right, though. In the words of Peter Cook, he is a proven lawyer.
Yes.
But we should be a bit careful, because it is a bit sad, because although he's a bit financially obsessed, there are children involved. So we are sorry for Tessa and for the little Peps and Isa, but they're all at home.
I think the whole thing has proved, I think, Sir Isaac Newton's third law of politics, that you simply cannot be mentioned in the same paragraph as Silvio Berlusconi in any article and expect to have a career after it.
He is terrific, but Berlusconi is actually, what you saw, is fixed an audience with the Pope the day before the Italian election in a month. I mean, that is really quite good. I mean, yes. Blair just appeals to God. Berlusconi has an inside line.
But I should point out, on behalf of my fellow lawyer, Mr. Mills, it's not proved he's had anything to do with him. Although he took advice from his accountant about receiving money from Mr. B, he says it was from a completely different Italian who happened to be imprisoned at the time. And so it's all right then, really.
There's an aspect to the Blair story which is rather intriguing and comic, which is that officially Blair has to declare any gifts that are received and has to make a gesture towards paying for them. And Berlusconi gave him a watch, and Blair paid £125 because that was the value of the watch. And the official watches are suspicious, because apparently Berlusconi doesn't give people watches that cost £125. He gives four-figure watches.
It's a terrific list with all that stuff and all the things that he gave Blair. And the last one, and it's in the Telegraph, the last thing was a hold-all. Gave him a Louis Vuitton hold-all. It's what was in the hold-all. There is 53 million quid with a Kentish band on it.
Dolce and Securitas hold-all.
Culture Secretary Tessa Jowell has been cleared of any wrongdoing after failing to declare her husband's earnings from financial dealings with Silvio Berlusconi. Monday she arrived in the Commons for the monthly session of Culture Questions and was flanked on the front bench by no fewer than eight female ministers, though one of those turned out to be Charles Clarke in a Chanel suit. Andy Zaltzman, why are the NHS finances neither deep nor crisp and very uneven?
Well, this is because the NHS deficit is now approaching the magic £1 billion mark, most of which, to be fair, can be accounted for by the £950 million that's been spent on a new solid gold A&E wing in Norwich. That has been built due to an administrative error, but it is good, and it is really, really shiny. Nigel Crisp, he's been basically fired because he failed to turn the NHS into the tidy little money spinner that we all know it really should be. Sick people are notoriously profitable.
I think the lawyer on my team would like to point out that he wasn't fired. He took voluntary early retirement. Sound you heard was someone going off a plank, but he didn't. He wasn't actually fired.
And he's getting a peerage as well, because he's Sir Nigel at the moment. So choosing his title is going to be great, because he's Lord Crisp. Lord Crisp of Smoky Bacon or something. Because there was a law lord who I think deliberately chose to call himself Lord Salmon of Sandwich, and that was his name. So all his Lord Crisp will go with him rather well, and a sort of like a finger buffet of. I don't think they've lost £1 billion. It's just the waiting list for the money is just a bit longer.
But waiting times are obviously a bit. You know, they say that's increased the deficit, the cost of reducing waiting times. But I think it's very important, because, for example, if I had tuberculosis and I had to wait for a hospital bed, well, I'll tell you, I'd be spitting blood.
This week saw the resignation of Sir Nigel Crisp, head of the NHS, after it became clear the health service is going to overrun its budget by up to £1 billion. Hard to know what Sir Nigel will do next. Though after letting £1 billion go missing without really noticing, the betting is on him walking up the aisle with David Mills before the year's out. Clive, why have Flash Tony and Buck Cameron got to fear the mighty Ming and his dreaded balance of power?
Are we celebrating the elevation or election of Sir Mingus Campbell to the leadership of the Liberal Democrats?
Well, we're all celebrating it in our own way.
Yeah. And so they're all quaking in their boots, because any minute now the electors are going to say, we want Ming, who is there for the Ming dynasty, as I think he's imagining, and he's going to be swept into power at the next election, first Liberal government since Lloyd George or Balfour. You were around doing the news quiz then, Alan. What was that?
I think Mingus Campbell would have beaten Seb Coe in a race. He was the fastest white man on the planet, I read.
Only man here to have run against both Mingus Campbell and Geoffrey Archer.
Election?
That is absolutely true. No round Iffley Road running track.
And who won? We've seen Iffley Road running track when they set the 4-minute mile. Yeah. Was that you? Were you a pace setter for
me? It was cinders. We had to run on cinders.
You shall go to the ball, Alan.
It was interesting, actually, that Ming Campbell, he mentioned in his speech this week that the Ming dynasty lasted 276 years, which I thought was interesting on two levels. First, it shows that the Liberal Democrats have now got internet access. So that's great news. And you also have to bear in mind, that is a pretty average dynasty, 276 years. I mean, that is simply not a patch on the quite magnificent 554-year Shang dynasty. I have the internet as well.
That's the Chinese equivalent of an agency dynasty, isn't it? It just comes in and fills in for a little while.
New Liberal Democrat leader Sir Ming Menzies Campbell has celebrated his first week in office with a speech to his party's spring conference and a reshuffle of his cabinet. Younger Lib Dems said they had no problem with being led by an ageing Scot, just as long as they didn't get the one who sings I Am Sailing and If You Think I'm Sexy. Alan, listen to this.
Move em on,
hit em up,
hit em up.
Move em on,
move em on,
hit em up.
Rawhide, cut em out.
Ride em in,
ride em in.
Cut em out,
cut em out.
Ride em in,
rawhide. Alan, why will those dogies soon be rolling into France?
I think it's about the fact that there never really ever was mad cow disease. It was just a way of manufacturing jokes about Margaret Thatcher, which ran its course. And the EU has now lifted its ban on British beef.
The food scares are now coming on and overlapping with each other. Now we can't buy any chicken anymore.
You can't buy cats from Germany.
I've given that up.
We've had cat omelette for years in our family. Now we can't anymore. Get a German tabby on your plate. You don't want to look at it.
I thought the media turned in a disgraceful performance this week, TV especially, because in a week where we're trying to rebuild confidence in British beef, they kept covering the story and they would pan across these close-ups of cows, and every single one was frothing at the mouth. Every cow looked completely gaga. They could have found a sensible-looking cow, surely.
Well, they could have done. I think the reason for that is probably that the cows haven't actually got any of the credits for this. I think we need to start giving them credit for the role they've played. They have been acting sane now for 10 years. They've really been putting everything into it. Now they're hoping just.
But that means, Andy, that they're really mad, because if they look as though they're sane, people will start killing them and eating them. It's a real catch-22 for cows.
I think we should start a retaliatory rumour against the French and Germans now, though, which is that their cows have got bovine flu.
So we can eat beef now, that's okay. Yep. That's relatively safe. But yep, we keep off birds because they've got avian flu. And cats, you say, that's...
if they're German, if they walk in a regimented way. don't eat them.
The EU has finally lifted the last remnants of the continental ban on British beef exports imposed 10 years ago in the face of mad cow disease. The news has been greeted with great joy in this country where several cows were said to be over the moon. The end of round one. The scores are everybody has 4 points. And we start round two with a serving suggestion from Waitrose home delivery website.
Kingsmill muffins, 4 per pack. Ideal with Sensodyne gentle whitening toothpaste.
Thanks to Kevin Doyle of St Albans for spotting that. Andy Hamilton, why is school out for the summer and only summer?
This is the story about how they're going to clamp down on parents taking their children out of school so they can go on holiday. And I think the story was prompted by a mum who took her kids away from school twice, but I think without even notifying the school, let alone getting permission, which I think is sort of asking for it a bit. Obviously, the thing to do is to lie, is to, you know, write a long letter to the teacher explaining that for important emotional and psychological reasons, your children have to have 2 weeks on the Costa Blanca. I mean, in the good old days, you bunked off without your parents knowing, didn't you? That was part of the fun of it.
Well, I think the root of the problem is the fact that we simply have the wrong people in schools. That children are the worst people to send to school. They have very short attention spans. They have no real desire to learn. And they'll take any opportunity to get away. So really, we should have adults in school who spend most of their time wishing they were still kids. And get kids in the workplace early on before they get lazy.
And while they cheat as well.
Yeah. Everyone wins.
Yeah. I bunked off school to go to watch the replay of Chelsea versus Leeds in 1970, FA Cup final replay. And I blackmailed my mum into writing me a note. And she wrote a note the next day saying, you know, please excuse Andrew's absence yesterday as he had a bit of a cold. And we had a deputy headmaster who was a bit like Ming the Merciless, really. He had a fantastic brain, but he was rather cruel. And
he's a leader of the Liberal Democrats.
And he came up behind me and he said, are you feeling better now, Hamilton? And I said, yes, I am, sir, thank you. He said, and was the Manchester air a bracing tonic for your cold? And I said, yes, yes, it was, sir. It's a new treatment. Yeah. 4 detentions.
Andy, how did Chelsea do in that replay?
They won it, thank
you. They won it better than that Chelsea did this week, then, in the match against Barcelona, would you say?
Yeah, that's a rather puerile intervention there.
High Court judges have ruled that parents who take their children on holiday during term time against the wishes of the school are breaking the law. In her defence, the mother claimed her children had learned a great deal during their trip, such as never to wear red in Pamplona during the bull run. Andy Zaltzman, who's swung into action again through the urban jungle.
Well, I think that would be Tarzan.
It would.
Namely, the former Olympic swimming champion, Michael Heseltine. The Conservatives have acknowledged, reluctantly, that cities are a regrettable fact of modern life. Obviously, they'd all rather they didn't exist, like in the good old days, but I guess at least it gives the countryside somewhere to march to. So they're sending Heseltine in to sort the mess out. It's another task force, which is... They love task forces now, the Conservatives, which is... the only flaw in that is that, given that they're not in power, they don't have any tasks to do or any force not to do them with. So, but good luck to them anyway. At least they're trying.
Did Boris go? I didn't see him in the footage.
Could be a risk, because if Heseltine is confused, another starry-eyed blonde Conservative, he might come under attack.
He might flounce out again, because he resigned and they didn't realise, didn't he, Heseltine? It was one of the great resignations. He walked out in high dudgeon and they just thought he'd gone to the loo.
Lord Heseltine spent a day in Liverpool this week after being asked to head the Conservatives' new task force on inner cities. Lord Heseltine has been called in to discuss regeneration, though he still prefers Tom Baker to Sylvester McCoy. Clive, listen to this. People knocking, but they can't come in. People
People knocking, but they can't come in. People knocking, but they can't come in. Come back tomorrow.
Clive, who hears them a knocking but won't let them in?
Is this anything to do with immigration?
It is.
This is a new scheme because, for some reason, people want to come here, which I suppose is a bit of an indictment on the rest of the world. And there's a horrible scheme because you have to sort of cock up points now to show how worthy you are. So it's a very structured thing. It's very sort of class-based. So doctors outrank nurses, outrank dustmen. And this is supposed to be a touchy-feely, caring way to control immigration.
The point system works in football, so I don't see why it shouldn't work in immigration either. And in fact, they are hoping to phase in a promotion relegation system as well. So the three least good immigrants every year are relegated back to where they came from.
But oddly enough, that always includes poor old Mohammed Al-Fayed, even though he owns a huge shop and castles, has fortunes of money, all of which give you points. He's not allowed a British passport.
The reason for that, Clive, is that it's not marked only on technical merit, where obviously he scores high. It's also artistic impression, and that is where Al-Fayed really falls down.
It's a pretty frightening thought, isn't it, if we're all measured by our social worth?
Yes.
I mean, where do topical comedians come in there?
A few fatuous remarks on a radio programme this week, Mr. Anderson. That's not much of a contribution, is it?
Yes.
Home Secretary Charles Clarke has unveiled a new points-based immigration scheme. Under the new scheme, Sunderland will not only face relegation from the Premiership, but will now also be deported to Scotland. Tier 5, the working visitor, is officially the lowest tier. Though there is a lower tier exempt from the system, the non-working visitor, otherwise known to us all as Princess Michael of Kent. Alan, if there's something fairly bad in your neighbourhood, who are you going to call?
I think this is the slight change in the 999 thing, is that it? You now ring up a call centre in Bangalore and you're offered 14 options and it says, we value your custom. If you are being strangled, press 1. So far, it's room 101. Is it? How did they choose 101? They sat round tables with Perrier water. What are we going to call it? We call it 101. It's where the rats are. How do they? I don't know how they do that.
Did they not choose 101 because that was how old the Queen Mother was when she died? And it's a tribute to her. She was obsessed with non-emergency crimes. I think it's what she would have wanted.
That's right, makes it easy to remember. It's a semi-emergency. Think of a Queen Mum.
This week saw the launch of 101, a new non-emergency number to be used as an alternative to 999. Police have issued guidelines on whether to call 999 or 101. If your husband, for example, is facing charges in an Italian court and you're battling to save your professional reputation, you should dial Alistair Campbell on 666. And at the end of round two, everybody still level on 8 points. Before we start round three, here's an item from the Saturday Independent about French Connection's advertising campaign.
Critics have lambasted the ad for degrading women. Linda Bellos, the feminist activist, said, "Frankly, they should grow up and get real. This is just every bloody man's fantasy with knobs on."
Thanks to Fabian Acker for sending that in. Andy, who hopes their champion won't lose that ovine feeling?
Is this ram?
It is.
There's a ram, and I've forgotten his name, but he's got the world record, I think, for the amount of ewes that he has tucked, or whatever the word is. Because he is such a rampant ram and so fertile, he is worth a huge amount of money. I think it's £500,000. And such is the demand. It's going to get a bit indelicate now. Such is the demand that he's available in draft. and they freeze his ram sperm and send it round the world.
Well, that's not draft, that's bottled.
That's true. It'd be messy
wood,
draft.
Direct from the wood is draft.
Yeah.
Direct from the ram.
That's right. Okay.
You're right.
Draft
it would be messy as well. And the barman would probably complain that, you know, it was hard to pump.
Certainly got cloudy, but I think the...
It's happened.
I think this is a new development, because until recently you didn't do artificial insemination with rams and sheep.
You mean you personally? Yeah.
Top Hill Joe, Britain's most expensive ram, has earned his owners more than £500,000 after producing more than 1,000 lambs. Sadly for the mothers involved, they were all inseminated artificially. The ram's owners explained that this method is much more efficient, but it costs them a fortune, keeping Joe in the latest copies of Play You and Big and Woolly magazine. The rams...
Shearer's wives.
Andy Zaltzman, who's not made up about 6 points on her licence?
Well, this is Donna Maddock, who has been convicted of unnecessary use of makeup in a built-up area. She was caught by a camera putting makeup on at 32 miles an hour, albeit in a 40 limit. I think morally that balances out. She's got 8 miles an hour that she wasn't using. Surely she can use that for something else. But the courts have... given her 6 points, and she's a bit of a martyr, really, because we've all done a little bit of cosmetic adjustment in the car, whether it's makeup or cutting our hair or a bit of rhinoplasty. You know, we've all done it on the A303, for example. But she's a martyr, really, Donna Maddock. She's like a modern-day Joan of Arc, only in an era with less fire-based criminal sentencing.
It was a bit of a shock, though, wasn't it? You saw, you know, Blonde does something stupid in Wales. You think it must be Robbie Savage again, but no.
Donna Maddock was caught on police cameras. She used both hands to do her makeup while driving through an accident black spot. As she heard the sentence from the doc, Ms. Maddock held her head in one hand and applied a little blusher with the other. The lawyers, however, had claimed that the charge was entirely without foundation. Five, who's taking the stir out of porridge and the porridge out of stir?
Oh, this is a disgrace, isn't it? After many years, porridge has been regarded as a rather sort of awful foodstuff that nobody likes. The last few years, it's been established as the healthiest stuff you can possibly have. It sets you up for the day, slow release of energy and nutrients. It's absolutely the perfect thing to say. So obviously the Home Office has now stepped in and said, oh, it's too good for prisoners then, who've traditionally been offenders. And they're not being given porridge anymore. They're given a packet of cornflakes or something the night before. And it's a disgrace. If I were still practicing as a barrister, I would be leading a campaign on behalf of all my clients to be getting as much porridge as they want. And I'd certainly want to stir it up.
Also, it's very, very unfair on the criminal community, isn't it? Because they're going to lose a lot of credibility if they say, oh, Frank's not here, he's doing muesli. It's not the same, is it? Just not the same.
A report by the National Audit Office has revealed that with cooked breakfast being replaced by 27p breakfast packs of bread and cereal, prisoners throughout England and Wales are up in arms at saying goodbye to porridge. Apparently the problem with prison food has been going on for years. Inmates have just kept quiet about it to avoid any chance of a visit from Jamie Oliver. Alan, who believes that Nelly the elephant had a Scottish cousin?
Well, there's two elephant stories. Not often you have a week with two elephant stories. The thing in Loch Ness is a trunk. It's an elephant trunk. Apparently, according to a professor of idiocy from some university, the Loch Ness monster actually exists, but it's an elephant that ran away from the circus sometime in the 1920s, and it occasionally comes up to go for water, and then it goes down again. But the other elephant story was that they can't be used in circuses anymore. There is a ban on using elephants in circuses, so Loch Ness will be full of these bloody things running around. You'll not be able to move for monsters.
It's in these Loch Ness, because you start off with the theory, oh, there's these monsters that survive for millions of years, and then, oh, well, there was a rational explanation. Is in fact there's a troop of elephants living. that makes an awful sense. Have you swum in Loch Ness? I've swum in Loch Ness, so I don't think it was me they saw, but it's jolly cold, and I can't imagine an African elephant, or even an Indian elephant, staying in there long enough.
Would not shrink your trunk, wouldn't it?
It shrunk my trunk, certainly. Yes. There have been stories of the Loch Ness monster since the 6th century as well, yes. So it's unlikely that Billy Smart was operating with the introduction of Christianity. I don't know.
If they get one more grainy photo like that that comes out, I think America will have enough proof to invade Scotland.
Neil Clark, curator of paleontology at Glasgow University's Hunterian Museum, believes sightings of the Loch Ness Monster could in fact have been sightings of circus elephants en route to Inverness. Dr. Clark made a name for himself discovering a 165 million year old dinosaur footprint on the Isle of Skye, which turned out to have been made by another ancient Scottish dinosaur, Mingius Cambellus. Before we reveal the final scores, let's hear the cuttings the teams have brought along. Andy.
This is from Jeff Parkinson, and it's an extract from an article in the Australian Daily Telegraph, and it's a witness giving evidence to a coroner. I suspected he had forged links with an underworld crime family, but my suspicions intensified when Max's left buttock was blown off in a suspected arson attack.
Andy Saltzman.
This has come from Jay Brown in Isleworth in Middlesex. It doesn't say if Jay Brown is a Mr. or a Mrs., but from Isleworth, I guess we can assume it's one or the other. Anyway, this says Napoleon's alleged tooth expected to fetch £8,000. Now, this is interesting on a number of levels. Not only is it only an alleged tooth, but it's expected to go on an expedition to fetch £8,000. Like some kind of heroic money-finding dog. It's one hell of an old tooth. And it also says the tooth goes under the hammer. So, bad luck for the tooth.
Clive.
This is from Jeff Fraser, and it's about Bemminster, which I think how you pronounce it. Bemminster must be the Christmas lights being lit up. And Bemminster town clerk Barry Morfitt said that despite the weather, the contractor's van breaking down, the lights under the arch blowing out, and the tree itself toppling over on Thursday, the night had been a great success.
Alan.
I like this from the Rant Daily Mail. It says, Hendrik Erstrom, 45, who drove away from a speed trap with bullets flying past him, told Krugersdorp magistrates that he was surprised to be arrested 2 days later because he thought he had been let off with a warning.
Let's look at the final score. The Andes have 16 points, but thanks to my new patronising point system, Alan and Clive for this week's winners are 17 points. Before we leave you, here's a cutting from the Guardian work supplement sent in by Richard Wakeford.
London is short of sewage engineers. In a reworking of the TV drama Auf Wiedersehen Pet, Thames Water recruited German workers last September. More are in the pipeline.
Goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Andy Hamilton, Aldi Zaltzman, Clive Anderson and Alan Corrin. The chairman was Simon Hoggett and the news was read by me, Carolyn Brown. The chairman's script was written by George Pohl, Simon Littlefield and Roderick Crooks. And the producer was Katie Tyrrell. And Carol Thatcher joins the teams next week.